President Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. When we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this November the 4th on the West Coast, now November the 5th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome all those of you who are also tuning in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world. I know why, because of tonight's guest. We'll be bringing him on in a moment. Anyway, it's nice to have you all here with us. We're going to dive deeply into some truth, and we're going to present some rather strange facts for you. This is from an article called The Press Trust of India, or as they would say in India, Press Trust of India. 34 warships sent from U.S. for Obama visit. New Delhi. The White House will, of course, stay in Washington, but the heart of the famous building will move to India when President Barack Obama lands in Mumbai on Saturday. Communication set up and nuclear button and majority of the White House staff will be in India accompanying the president on this three-day visit that will cover Mumbai and Delhi. He will also be protected by a fleet of 34 warships, including an aircraft carrier, which will patrol the sea lanes off the Mumbai coast during his two-day stay there beginning Saturday. The measure has been taken as Mumbai attack in 2008 took place from the sea. Oh, really, did it? Arrangements have been put in place. Oh, that was my commentary, by the way. That's not in the article. Arrangements have been put in place for emergency evacuation if needed. Obama is expected to fly by a helicopter, Marine One, from the city airport to the Indian Navy's helibase, INS Shikra, at Colaba in South Mumbai. Two jets armed with advanced communication and security systems and a fleet of over 40 cars will be part of Obama's convoy. Around 800 rooms have been booked for the president and his entourage in Taj Hotel and Hyatt. The president will have a security ring of American elite Secret Service, which are tasked to guard the president, along with national security guards and personnel from central paramilitary forces and local police in Mumbai and Delhi. Similar arrangements will be in place in Delhi, with the Air Force One to be kept in all readiness throughout Obama's stay here from Sunday afternoon to Tuesday morning. Mariah Hotel, where the president will stay, has already been swarmed by American security personnel, and protective measures have been put in place. Security drills have already been carried out at the hotel, as well as Rajghat, where he will visit. Sources say 13 heavy-lift aircraft with high-tech equipment, three helicopters, and 500 U.S. security personnel have arrived in India ahead of Obama's visit. The U.S. security has also brought interception and obstruction devices, I think they mean devices, sniffer dogs, rescue gadgets. End of sentence. Apart from Obama's Air Force One, a few private luxury jets carrying top American corporate leaders who are part of Obama's entourage are also expected to arrive in India in the next 2 to 3 days. All high-rise buildings in the vicinity of Mumbai's Taj Mahal Hotel and Delhi's Marriott Sheraton Hotel, where the U.S. president will stay, are being sanitized, and security personnel will be positioned on rooftops to prevent any airborne attack. The ridge area opposite Delhi's Marriott Sheraton Hotel has been illuminated by floodlights as part of the heightened security drill. the Home Ministry has already issued an alert for Mumbai and Delhi asking authorities to take extra precautions during Obama's visit as well as on Diwali on Friday. Now, I find this interesting that they don't mention the cost of this. And I heard yesterday on a couple of shows, actually, including our guest's show, that over $2 billion is being spent on this little venture. What is this one now? Is this a golf tournament, or are we talking another vacation, or is this some banking corruption going on? We'll find out when we talk to tonight's guest. He is a former U.S. Marine from 1967 through 1977, an electronic expert from his days in the military and his current business, Hart & Associates, also a former real estate mortgage broker, and a man of many hats. The guy, if you're going to be trapped in a foxhole, this is the guy that you want in there with you. My good friend, Drew Malone Raines III. Drew, welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show. Thank you very much. And to all my Marines around the world, Semper Fi. And as far as foxholes are concerned, man, I hope I don't have to get in one anytime soon with anybody. They're small, and they're not cozy at all.
Well, if you go down there with a drag crane, they can be pretty big.
Well, I heard that. I prefer to be up there behind every tree and every bush. Okay? I don't mind getting wet, but in a foxhole, there's no place for the water to go. Anyhow, you're right on point. $352 million per day for his stay, 3 days in Bombay, India, or Mumbai, depending on how you want to look at it. Most of you that are over 50, you look at your map from your college days or high school days or whatever days. You look on the map and I don't see Mumbai. Where's Mumbai? Well, it's Bombay. They changed the name. Don't ask me why. They just changed the name. Drive you up a tree with the way that people change countries.
Yeah. Drew, you know, this town is the staging area for the false flag terror attack on the hotel.
Yeah, correct.
A little over a year ago. If you remember that, and this stinks to high heaven. Now, they know where the attack came from, but they don't know who committed the attack.
Yeah.
You know, I think they should be setting up all the security around Israel, don't you?
Yeah, that's true. It's just like, why do we need all this security? This narcissistic excuse, long-legged magnetty, short-legged magnetty, excuse of a human being, can't even prove he's a human being, and walking around spending Americans' grandchildren's money. This guy is, for the sake of word verbiage here, let's just say that this poor excuse of a human being, this narcissistic idiot is doing nothing for the benefit of we the people. And for anybody to say that Obama loves America is like fantastic. That's what Obama's friend O.J. Simpson said about Nicole. He loved Nicole. And those of you who don't get it, Nicole Simpson, remember her? And who killed her? So you stop and think about it out there for a minute. And those of you that don't know what this is all about, take a good hard look where Miss Clinton is, i.e. Hillary Rodham Clinton. She's in Papua, which is in Southeast Asia, one of the top silver-producing countries in the world. And Pakistan, happens to be one of the top gold producing countries in the world. When you take a good hard look at what's going on, we've got nobody left in Washington, D.C. right now except the incoming elected officials in the Congress and the Senate. Where's Joe Biden? Anybody know? Where's Nancy Pelosi? I have no where she is. You should know. She's in San Francisco, licking her wounds because she's out. She knows she's out, and she's probably attempting to solidify something to do with her husband, who is a crook as a $3 bill in real estate in California, and she's probably trying to solidify some kind of a job, or maybe she doesn't want to work at all. Who knows? But she's being regulated backward into being just a straight congresswoman. And those of you in Texas, you already know that the one of the powerful committees in Congress is the House Judiciary Committee. And it's going to be led by San Antonio congressman. And this San Antonio congressman is about to stand forward and say, you know, we're going to investigate what's been going on these last 2 years.
Well, they ought to investigate the DNC, first of all.
He's going to start with it all. His name is Lamar Smith. He's a Yale graduate, a social conservative. He grew up in Texas. He is really upset about all the illegal immigrants, drugs, et cetera, coming into Texas, destroying his state. And he's going to take the chairmanship of the judiciary. He already knows it. He's going to take it in January. And cracking down, he's going to be starting to crack down on all the child pornography that the Obama administration has been ignoring. He's going to be investigating all of this illegal immigration coming across the border. Lamar Smith happens to made a speech on radio, which is right there in Austin, Texas. Most of you listen to alternative talk radio. You've heard of many of the alternative radio talk show hosts that are in Texas, D.V. Kidd for one. And she's prouder than pumpkin pie because Lamar Smith is he's fed up. There's not going to be any White House wedding cake. He wants an investigation to start the day he takes office. Kudos to this man. You know, I quote him when he comes out and he says, part of that checks and balances in Congress is in fact holding the administration accountable, is in fact insisting that there is more transparency. How many of you have heard about the new Speaker of the House coming out today and saying that all bills in this new Congress, all bills, will be posted on the Internet for 3 days? Now, I heard somebody else say that once, and it didn't happen.
Oh, and C-SPAN, too. Of course, that's not happening either.
And this guy comes in today, and he says it will happen under this leadership in the House, and there will be no forcing the bills down the American people's throat without them first knowing about it firsthand. Quote, right now, because of a one-party monopoly, the administration has been able to dodge any kind of supervision, any kind of oversight committee action, any kind of investigation into corruption within the office. And the politicians of this administration have refused to testify. This is no longer acceptable. Now, Lamar Smith, 63, he's just a year older than I am. But I guarantee you, from what I know of Lamar Smith in the last 10 years with my sister living in the San Antonio, Austin area, Lamar Smith is, he's not going to take any of this lightly. And we go back to spending $300 million a day. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is poor excuse of an individual sitting in Washington, D.C., this narcissistic idiot. His days are numbered, and he's out there trying to make amends, and I'll work with you, and basically kissing posterior, trying to ward off an investigation. And my personal viewpoint is we didn't go far enough on Tuesday, November the 2nd.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, I mentioned that on this show on Tuesday. Now's the time to really pay attention to what's going on. You thought you had to watch the last few months leading up to this midterm election? Oh, no. Just getting started now.
I had a Marine in New York ask me, he said, "We didn't go far enough, Drew. What do you think they're going to do with the health care bill? With this, with just the 64 people that's going into Congress that are Republicans, you think the Republicans can do anything?" And that's in a heartbeat, because now, under the leadership, this new leadership understands that Congress, not the Senate, not the President, not the Supreme Court justices, Congress is responsible for the money. And all they got to say is, "Sir, no, sir, we're not funding it." And there will be no funding. So remember this, ladies and gentlemen. When you talk to your elected representatives, regardless of what party they're in, they're all in the same coin. It's all one coin. They're either Republicans or they're Democrats. It's one coin. It's just who's in charge of the money. Well, the Republicans are in charge of the money this time around, and they're a little mad. Are there any real independents? Nobody elected an independent, but they elected a few Republicans that lean on being independent, Tea Party members. And it's a matter of just time and wait and see. And Don, yes, I heard your show. We at Wind Talkers Radio Network heard your show Tuesday night in your rant. And the comments that came in Tuesday night were, Don's a little mad. he seemed a little put out. I thought they were winning.
Well, yeah, we look a little bit deeper than, you know, the icing, you know, especially if it's looking like rhubarb pie underneath the icing, you know, tell us it's a cake.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, comment. Do you recall any of those comments besides me? Actually, I wasn't mad. I was just being authoritative, I would say.
Well, that was exactly what I was about to say. One of the primary holders of the mic, Bobby down in Australia, said Mr. Nikoloff is apparently taking over the reins of the secondary school and being authoritative in such a way that he's demanding truth. He's not talking truth. That was one of the comments from a fresh memory.
Mm-hmm.
And ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand something out there. Don Nikoloff and I and other members on Don Nikoloff's team that come on this network and talk, we don't sit here and talk to hear ourselves talk. BBS Radio is not out there putting just to hear somebody talk. We want to put the truth out there and let you ascertain, move forward. Like John Fitzgerald Kennedy said, man was meant to be free and independent. Man was meant to be free and independent. If you don't believe John Fitzgerald Kennedy said that, listen to my intro show every day. We play it. His words. And ladies and gentlemen, no better man saw the future of man than John Fitzgerald Kennedy. And I want to tell you, when I was in high school, I didn't really care about John Fitzgerald Kennedy, about him being the president. I was a Nixon man at that time. Oh, God, can you believe I was a Nixon man in 1960? I can imagine what would have happened to this nation if Nixon had become president 8 years ahead of himself. But you stop and think about the things that John Fitzgerald Kennedy wanted this country to do, and his brother, and the things that him and his brother attempted to do. One was the president, one was the attorney general, and in 2.5 years, it got to the point where the leaders of the CIA, the National Security Agency, and the FBI were shaking in their boots. So they had to put him away. Today, we've got a narcissistic idiot running this country, and people don't even know. They can't see. Many of your brothers and sisters out there across this nation, when I say brothers and sisters, I mean Americans. There's no hyphenated American in my world. You're either an American or you're not. And if you want to call yourself an African American, go back to Africa, please. If you want to call yourself a Chinese American, go back to China. That's my viewpoint.
Do they call people in Africa American Africans? Have you ever heard that term used?
I've never been in Africa. I've been stationed in every continent except Antarctica and Africa. I don't know. I have to beg off on that.
I
really do. But I've got a friend that is a professor of law. He is proud. He is proud to be an American. He stands 5'5¼". And I quote, Dr. Felix D. Taylor, professor of law, University of Arkansas, Little Rock. I'm bald. I'm black, I'm blind, but I'm damn beautiful, and I'm a proud American. There is no such thing as an African American. There's no such thing as a black African American. There's no such thing of anything except an American. So you want to call me black and beautiful, fine. But remember, I'm an American. Now, this man has a memory that is photographic. You read him, Gone with the Wind, and he'll dictate it right back to you, verbiage, sentence by sentence. I've done so. I've quoted Arkansas code law to this man, and he's turned around and called me back 2 days later to confirm what I read to him. 2 days, 3 days, a week. I misquoted a code. I didn't misquote the full law, but I misquoted the code in the form of mentioning the fact that the code required 10 days notice, but I read 7 under an old code, and they had changed it to 10. 2 months later, Mr. Taylor calls me on the phone and corrected me. 2 months. And I had to make a change in my paperback book of the Arkansas Rules of Civil Procedure, because my Arkansas book of Rules of Civil Procedure was 3 years old, and then made a change, and it converted a reporting time from 7 days to 10 days, and I hadn't made the pencil change. But that's how much of a brain this man has, and you think I'm trying to throw this out. I'm trying to show you, ladies and gentlemen, there are good black men in America, good black men. that can see through this facade of this long-legged, short-legged Mac Daddy.
I'm calling him the bow-legged Mac Daddy right
the
now.
The bow-legged Mac Daddy.
Because of his recent defeat 2 nights ago.
I heard that. And what is he? What is? And what is this thing? He's spending $300 million a day. Name me any president in history that has gone anywhere with an armada of protection. Now, every president in the past, whether he traveled in the United States or outside the United States, has always had a contingency of Marine security guards fly in 2 weeks ahead of schedule. 2 weeks ahead of schedule. And in doing so, those Marines are put up at the local hotel right next to where the president is coming. Not cheap hotels, ladies and gentlemen. And they ward off, I mean, they literally go through the protection drills of protecting the president. The contingency is 100 Marines. This president won't go anywhere without at least 500 Marines going in advance. He has a 250 to 300 member security guard with the Secret Service. Half of that Secret Service goes everywhere with him. The other half goes on a liaison on a front recon. And they get to wherever the destination is about 3 days. And go through a shakedown with the Marine security guard that's been there for 2 weeks.
Doesn't Congress have to appropriate that $2 billion plus that he's spending on this? Isn't there some way to regulate that?
There is, but not with this Congress. Nancy Pelosi could put a stop to it tomorrow afternoon, or yesterday, or last week, because all the funding that the president uses, the cost of fuel, goes directly through the Congress. And it's all approved. Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid signed off on this trip 2 months ago. Now, I've known about the trip. I didn't know when it was going to go down, but I've known about the trip, which was classified 6 weeks ago, before it was ever announced that it was going down because of where the toilet paper was going. But I was totally surprised when Obama demanded that 34 warships be patrolling off the coast of Bombay, India. That surprised the heck out of the captain of the aircraft carrier. And it surprised the heck out of a friend of mine that works at Washington, D.C. in the GAO office. He came back to me the minute it was leaked in the presses. Drew, did you know that that's 148 to $152 million a day for those 34 aircraft, those 34 security vessels to be patrolling the Indian Ocean off the coast of Mumbai? I didn't know that. $134 million a day. That's a lot of money, especially when we've got people underneath bridges, starving, hungry here in the United States, being American citizens, being raped and murdered across our borders. What can $152 million a day, even the $200 million a day. Can you imagine this, ladies and gentlemen? And what's going to happen? He's not flying over and flying right back. He's flying over, and then there's going to be gone for another 8 days. Where's he going? Well, he's going into Pakistan. He's going in, supposedly going in to other countries in that part of the world. What are those other countries, Don? Well, Afghanistan, okay, for one, Yuzhabakan, Now, what are these? What are these companies? When you look at where he supposedly is, he's going to go to Pompeo. So, I'm looking at the idea that he's traveling to countries that mine silver and gold. Pakistan has so much gold, it makes bombing it into the Stone Age to get them to sell the shelf deals at bargain prices. I mean the gold, if you don't understand what I'm talking about.
You know, it almost feels like he's setting himself up for exile, you know, tying some business ends together, you know?
He does.
Doesn't it?
And what happens if Washington, D.C., 10 square mile area? Now, you know what's unique about a 10 square mile area and a suitcase bomb? They marry together because you're looking at a 10 square mile area, what a suitcase bomb would go off and do. We're talking about a nuclear bomb that was designed, constructed, and disappeared within the Russian Confederation before the breakup. And ladies and gentlemen, right now we have nuclear weapons in the United States that are missing from our own nuclear weapon arsenal. So what's going to happen here? Right, I'm getting word of false flag events popping off over the next 2 weeks. And I keep telling you, and I've said this on my show, and I'm going to say it on your show, ladies and gentlemen. This is Don Nikoloff's show, and he can throw pie at me if he wants to.
No, I won't do that.
But 5 out of every 7 Americans are about to die in this nation because we don't pray to God. We don't take care of our own people. We've allowed greed and corruption to control our nation. And if you doubt me, look at what's going on in the bottom right now. Harry Reid controls the Senate, and the Attorney General, a Democrat, an Obama officio, has come out and said that Harry Reid won the election in Nevada with 50.1%. 50.1%. That saves the state of Nevada for a runoff election. But there still can be a count, and there still can be an investigation. For those of you in Nevada, you need to be screaming for a recount, screaming for an investigation on the voting process, because I have not one, not two, but 3 first cousins that are over 40 that tell me they went out and voted. I have an uncle and an aunt that live in Las Vegas, Nevada, and they saw the corruption and the fraud. And when they go in to vote in the voting booth, and they walk in, they close the curtain, and boom, all the electronic boxes for the Democratic Party are clicked, especially the one for Harry Reid. And they go in and they make comments and they change it. And one personal friend who I installed an electronic equipment in their home, he tells me that when he was in the booth, this is a man. This isn't some teenage kid that doesn't know how to vote. This is a man that's been voting in every election since 1964. He says, Drew, I changed the checkbox. I'm figuring it was just a minor glitch, and I just changed the box and voted for the woman. And when I pushed the button at the bottom to vote, the box clicked back to Harry Reid. And I complained about it. Big time complained. But what am I supposed to do now? And what does a lot of Nevadians do? Well, ladies and gentlemen, fraud is rampant across America. And this is what I see. 5 out of 7 Americans are about to die because of corruption, greed, and apathy across this land.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Our nation is going to be placed into martial law.
Yeah.
When? I don't know, but it's going to happen.
After all the reports the past 2 years that we've all done about the voting corruption, the same things are still going on. Even dead people voting.
In Louisiana, I made sure that my mother and my grandmother did not vote again by double-checking the voting rolls. And guess what? My mother was on the voting rolls. They had sent an absentee ballot out to my mother, and I says I sent a letter, notarized letter, to Caddo Parish election officials, demanding an investigation on my mother, who's been dead for 5 years. I wanted to know how in the world she was going to be able to vote when she's buried in a little plot in Texas. And they sent me a letter back and said, well, she requested an absentee ballot. And I said, great. I got that reply back, and I says, you know, I need to write these people a letter and ask them, is there any way I can get my mother to write me a letter?
And who made that request on her behalf, John Edwards or Sylvia Brown?
Who knows? But it was after my second letter and a personal request to the sheriff department, they went out to the address and they found a vacant field. But what was really unique about it, Don, is over 200 requests for absentee ballots were sent to the mailbox that was put up at a vacant field in Caddo Parish, Louisiana. 200! And all of these people were dead.
Hmm.
So is it time to bring out the jumpsuits, ladies and gentlemen? You know, those orange jumpsuits? Or how about the ones that that the Three Stooges used to wear with the stripes around them? What comes to mind is the Three Stooges sitcom where they were painting the side of the jail, and they were wearing stripes, and they went around and they painted each other where they looked like they were wearing black uniforms like a cop and walked away from the jail. Remember that one?
Yes. Oh, man, I've had my fill of the Three Stooges the past 3 years, too, you know.
You know, the Three Stooges are alive and well in Washington, D.C. Don Nikoloff wrote about them.
Oh, man.
Nancy Pelosi would be the best example of Larry, only just shave a little off the top of her head.
Well, this election corruption has to be investigated originally. You know, you were talking about Las Vegas, and, of course, Harry Reid's re-election became an instant news item. And I heard a radio broadcast where his opponent described the exit polls that they took. They slaughtered him if the exit polls were anything close to accurate. And still he ends up winning. It's obvious.
Well, in the state of New York, there's a 5 counties there where a representative in the state of New York went to bed losing. She was losing by 6,000 votes. Now, she was losing to a Democrat. And the Democrat that held the office, his campaign manager called her up on the phone and ask her to surrender. And she said, no, I think that the people in the rural areas of the counties need to get their votes in. And all the votes need to be counted. They went to bed at midnight Tuesday night in New York State time. She woke up at 6:30 in the morning, 600 and some odd seats, or 600 and some odd ballots ahead, because the rural area was the most populated area of the five counties in which she would be representing.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Democrat that sits in Washington, D.C., he's yelling and screaming vote fraud, and he's yelling and screaming a recount. And the lady that's now won the seat is fantastic. Let's have a recount, because she could not believe she lost two of the counties by 6,000 votes that this jerk said he won. Now, I don't know what they're going to do in New York, but I do know this, ladies and gentlemen, vote fraud is alive and well across America. It's not just going on in Chicago, and it's not just going on in Las Vegas, Nevada. It's going on from Maine to Hawaii, and includes Alaska and Florida, and Louisiana and Arkansas. I can't believe that the governor of Arkansas won handily over the opponent, Jim Keith, when a Republican or that is a congressman in Congress, who is also a crook, won 76% of the vote in beating Blanche Lincoln. But the governor wins, the governor-elect and the governor won 80%, and the people that were running against the governor, Jim Keith, only got 36% of the vote. I mean, even that, plus and minus, it don't add up. I've got a problem here. I think there's a lot of vote fraud out here. I don't mind the governor, BB, winning. I just can't believe that he won so handily. And I cannot believe that we don't have any independents in Congress. I really cannot understand that there's anybody that was running independent, especially in Alaska, where a write-in candidate gets the majority of the votes. There's something wrong here. So, as far as I'm concerned, I look at the number of people that voted, Don, and yes, it's the majority. Number of people in the midterm election in over 60 years went to the polls and voted.
You know, it would be really interesting if they would just add up all the people who are qualified to vote, registered to vote, and then subtract the number of people who voted, and then from that subtract the number of dead people. Look at the dead people, their names, okay? We don't want to smear the deceased. They're probably rolling over in their graves while all this is going on anyway. But let's say if there are 1,000 votes which are corruptly cast on the Democratic side, not only do you take those 1,000 votes away, you take another 1,000 votes away. For every vote, they should take away 2. Or 10 or 100, you know, there should be a definite penalty for cheating. But they all do it. That's the problem.
Yeah, it's not just Republicans that do it or just for Democrats that do it. They're both parties, one coin. We have a system that is corrupt, and that's why I see the United States of America falling apart, because of the corruption. And here's the kicker. Don, you and I, we're not the only ones that see this. This will blow you away. I got this from a friend of mine that's an election official in Louisiana.
Go ahead. I want to hear this.
61% of the registered voters didn't vote, even though this was the largest number of voters in the state of Louisiana and across the nation in over 60 years, 61% of the registered voters did not vote that are eligible to vote. And I asked the question, it says, how can that be when the most, he said, we have more registered voters in the history of the United States right now, and 61% of the voting age Americans, 18 and above, did not participate.
Now, the question is, how many of that 61% are illegals?
These are the ones.
You know what I'm saying? Is it because maybe those were illegal aliens?
Maybe.
Or illegal registrations?
Illegal. Well, in Louisiana, they took out 280,000 illegal voters that were not eligible because, one, they could not sign their name in the right place. Two, they could not provide a legal resident address and phone number or phone number. And that's not a requirement. You don't have to have a phone number, but you got to have an address. Or the addresses that were used were cemeteries or vacant buildings. That's a lot of votes.
Cemeteries, huh? Oh,
you know?
Now,
so
those cemetery addresses, were those people alive? You know?
One of those cemeteries that was used was a Civil War cemetery, addresses of a Civil War cemetery in Mansfield, Louisiana. I wonder how many brave men that died over 150 years ago decided they wanted to come back and vote for an election.
Can you see the signage there at their address? Stone 103.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Please knock long and hard.
What really gets me here is here we are. We make fun about this, but it's sad.
It is.
The rest of the world, they see this and they want to know why. How come? Why aren't you doing something about it? That's what gets me.
Well, this
my friends in Russia,
you know.
even Matthew is out there. He's had to talk for 2 days in Sochi, Russia to Russians about the corruption in voting in the United States to explain how the system works for 2 days. And he says, I'm getting harsh about talking about all this. It's gotten to the point where I can't even go to the local cafe with Larissa and enjoy a meal without somebody coming over and say, you're an American. What's going on over there? I'm going to tell you, Don, except that 5 out of 7 Americans are about to die in the United States. We're going into hyperinflation unless something's done because the feds, are printing $1 trillion to put into the economy, and who are they giving that money to, and who are those people that they're giving it to? What are they doing with all that fiat paper? Well, first of all, I look at they're buying gold and silver. That's what they're doing with all that fiat paper. Oil went to $85 a barrel today. $85. Food's gone up 22%. Well, you want to know why food's going up, ladies and gentlemen? Because the United States imports 70% of all their vegetables, 85% of all their fruit, 38% of all their beef. We used to be we export beef to Japan. We export chicken. Except to Russia. Russia will not accept chicken out of the United States anymore because of the poisons that the chicken growers put in their food. GMO foods. I tell you, you take a good hard look at who the countries are that harvest the minerals from the earth, especially gold and silver, and you find out that the Bush administration has all that nice little land down there in Peru, and Peru happens to be the number one silver mining country in the world.
Well, Paraguay's where they have that.
Paraguay's where they have their runway,
yeah,
and their water supply.
And their barracks.
And their barracks.
And that's an underground base, by the way. That's
so,
an underground base. So it's probably their stash there, you know?
Their stash.
Drugs, gold, stolen artifacts from the Central Bank of Iraq, that kind of stuff. Yeah, I'm sure.
Remember, there's an underground base in Australia that a 747 can land on the field and be sucked into the earth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean sucked in literally, ladies and gentlemen. They just raise the door, and the 747 can go in underground just like it was in a hangar. By raising the door. So, they call it Pine Gap, John.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't mean that to you, Don. I was saying John. He's a talk show host. he says, where's that at in Australia, Drew? I live here. Outback. He's a wind talker on Outback.
Yeah. A lot of spooky stuff going on at Pine Gap.
Just like Area 51.
And Dulce and other places. Dugway.
The largest country in the world. You know where the largest country in the world is, Don?
You mean by land mass?
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was Russia.
It is Russia.
Yeah.
And yet Russia, even though Russia is the seventh largest silver mining country in the world, they have vast numbers of mountain ranges that they haven't even gone out and looked at to see if there was any gold or silver in it. It amazes me that Americans are so gullible to believe that you know, we're the greatest nation in the world when we're the most corrupt nation in the world. That's what I see. And the rest of the world sees it that way, too. Well, what's going to happen over the next coming months? Well, I'll tell you this much. If this corrupt Congress that's in there right now continues to spend money like it grows on trees, $300 million a day. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about 10 days. That's $3 billion. $3 billion. Don, we're talking about some real money. We're not talking about $3 billion worth of real money. We're probably talking about $50,000 in real money. But $3 billion of this fiat money and his own personal entourage of naval vessels and guards, let them eat cake. You ever heard that, Don? Let them eat cake?
Mm-hmm.
Who said let them eat cake? Well, it wasn't Marie Antoinette.
It was one of her. Sarah Lee said that.
Huh?
Sarah Lee said that.
Yeah, Sarah Lee. Yeah, okay.
Go.
I heard that. But I'll tell you who's been real quiet over the last 2 weeks, and that's the Queen of England.
Yes.
And notice you haven't heard squat out of Great Britain?
She has been very quiet, hasn't she?
So what's cooking? And, I got these members, friends, that tell me that the United Nations troops are coming to the United States. And I tell them, I says, get your head out of your posterior. The United States of America is the third largest populated country in the world. The third largest populated country in the world with over 300 million, probably 350 million people. $350 million of that's probably illegals. But $350 million. The nations of the world under that are controlled by the UN are having problems with riots and their own, in their own countries. And you're telling me that Germany is going to send troops to the United States when they've got rioting from Berlin to Munich? The Germans are not going to come to the United States and play police. The Indonesians are not going to come to the United States and play police. Especially the Indonesians, because they're, the average height of Indonesians is 5 foot five, weight 125 pounds. High school football team can make mincemeat out of an Indonesian army. And they've got enough problems in Indonesia with the volcano going off. And Don, most Americans don't look at history back to 1815, 1816, 1817, 1818. When the volcanoes in Southeast Asia erupted, the United States of America, especially the states of New Hampshire, Vermont, Maine, Rhode Island, New York, Northern Ohio, the warmest day of the summer in those four summers of 1814 to 1818, the highest, hottest days never got above 60. Because of all the volcano eruptions in Southeast Asia. And it's happening right now, ladies and gentlemen. And all you hear, where's Al Gore? Somebody get out there and grab Al Gore. I got a dirty old rope in the fire ant pit just for him. One volcano eruption puts more hydrocarbons in the atmosphere than all of the hydrocarbons produced by the United States in the last 200 years. 200 years. We're talking about since the Industrial Revolution began. Period. We're talking about going all the way back to the formation of the country. And we didn't have a whole lot of cows out there putting out a lot of manure, but we had a lot of buffalo. So you're telling me that cow manure puts out hydrocarbons and problems in the and we got to deplete the nation's cows? Well, I remember when reading my history books, the American buffalo herds were as big as the entire state of Kansas, and there were five of them, five herds of buffalo, that just one herd would cover the entire state of Kansas in the 1800s. And the American Indians couldn't harvest them enough. So don't tell me that cows are putting out too much manure or chickens are putting out too much manure. You better learn how to grow your own food, ladies and gentlemen. Square foot gardening, bucket gardening, growing your own food, you better know how to do it, because you might wake up next week and your fiat money may be, it may cost you $100,000 for a loaf of bread, just like it does in Zimbabwe. Oh, it ain't going to happen in the United States. When Bernanke prints $1 trillion in paper money, Don, how much do you think the American dollar is going to be worth?
It's not worth anything now, so
that's why everything's going up.
Yeah,
it's because people outside the country aren't they're tired. They're raising their prices because they're having to take American dollars, but the American dollar isn't worth the paper it's printed on, and they know it. I don't know how many countries in the Middle East have stopped taking American dollars for oil, but I do know there's three.
Well, you can look at the price of a gallon of gasoline today, and how many times higher is it than gasoline, let's say, in the late or mid-1960s. It was 27, 28, 29 cents a gallon for many years.
22 cents a gallon in Shreveport, Louisiana in 1957. And it was 28 cents a gallon at its highest point in Caddo Parish, Louisiana, for 8 years that I know of, growing up in Caddo Parish, Louisiana.
See, and what they don't tell the people is that when the United States helped Iran develop their oil production, and they, right around that time is when they stopped drilling. They stopped the major drilling ventures and said, you know, they can produce oil for $18 a barrel, and it's costing us $16 a barrel. I mean, $36 a barrel. And we can't produce oil against that type of competition. Even today in Saudi Arabia, it only costs them 50 cents a barrel. So where's all that, the rest of that profit going? Now, when it came time after 30 years, and this occurred in August of 2008, August of 2008, that 30-year lump sum was due, and, of course, they didn't want to pay that, so they brought the price of oil per barrel down to $34 a barrel to make it impossible for the Saudis to make any money. Now, what they don't tell people is that characters like George H.W. Bush are part of OPEC. American oil companies are part of OPEC. They say, oh, it's the Arabs in the Middle East are the problem. They don't tell the truth. And they had that situation when they brought down the Shah of Iran. Rockefeller didn't want to pay the money he was owed. They steal the money. And then they oust the leader, I should say. Mispronounce that word.
I just got the word from an Air Force officer who says that that the entire C-5A fleet is being used by President Obama in his convoy to India, last two. In other words, the 13 C-5As minus two are working with Obama, plus Air Force One, and two of the 747s or 757s that make up the presidential fleet, all three of the 757s are flying to India. Two of them are outfitted with the latest electronics and high-tech equipment. So, you know, what a waste. What a waste.
I tell you, it sounds like he's setting himself up for exile.
And he's got his own personal army. You know what the biggest problem here is? When these guys wake up and say, how am I going to get paid? And what about my family that lives in New York or San Francisco or Houston or Dallas? You want me to guard you, the president of what? When the military can't be paid, ladies and gentlemen, there isn't a military anymore, because they ain't gonna, they're gonna put their lives on the line for nothing. And you ain't gonna pay the military with fiat money and tell the military, well, we're gonna pay you $10,000 a month. Well, wait a minute. You're gonna give me $10,000 in fiat money and a loaf of bread cost me $2,000 and, breakfast cost me $1,000 and lunch cost me $1,000 and supper cost me $1,000. You're going to pay me $10,000. In other words, you're going to pay me 2 days' wages to guard your sorry, bow-legged, mag-daddy posterior? Give me a break. It ain't going to happen. The nuclear aircraft carriers, Ladies and gentlemen, when those captains of those aircraft carriers find out that they haven't got any money, a number of them are going to do exactly what I've been told. They're going to go to an exile point to pick up as many Americans that can get there, and they're going to come home. And they're going to park their aircraft carriers at deep sea ports and let their men go home. They're not gonna be out there and not be paid. And they're not gonna put their lives on the line for nothing. And Don, I'm gonna tell you, when the bankers close the banks to start stealing the gold and the silver from the safety deposit boxes, you got 1 hour to get home, to hunker down, because all of a sudden things are gonna get pretty bad. There's only 3 days of food in any city in America. And if the power grid goes down, 3 days of food ain't going to last.
And it won't make it through 12 hours.
It won't make it 12 hours. Exactly right. And ladies and gentlemen, you think things can't happen this way? I got news for you. In modern history, all you got to do is look to Yugoslavia and the breakup of Yugoslavia. That's all you have to do. And you want to know how bad, ruthless gangs can be? All you got to do is look at Zimbabwe. The rape, the pillage, the inhumane activities that goes on where little girls as young as 6 years old are raped. Old women as old as 70 years old are raped.
I think New Hampshire holds the record for that, Drew. Six days or inside of 6 days.
Yeah.
With little Cheyenne there.
So tell me it's not going to happen in America, ladies and gentlemen. I tell you, it is going to happen. And who are you going to protect? I'm going to tell you, if you know a real estate person, go to that real estate person and learn how to button your house down. And cut your 2x4s and your plywood and be ready to defend your house. Get together with two or three friends, couples. Because it's going to be a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week survival. And those of you that are bachelors, be prepared to walk out of your house and let it burn and live behind every tree and every bush. That's what it's going to be like, Don. There's a book out there called Patriots, Surviving the Coming Collapse. With the new James Wesley Rawls wrote a new one, a revamped it. He calls it now a novel of survival in the coming collapse, Patriots. The original novel name was Patriots, Surviving the Coming Collapse. But you read that book, ladies and gentlemen, and it's got little tidbits on how to survive and survival. And if you want a printout of survival tips, just send me an email, drewraines@yahoo.com, and I'll send you a basic printout of survival items, the basics of what you have. And we're not talking about just a paragraph of information.
Yeah, because, Drew, in our closing moments here, I want to reference something I heard Mr. Bob Chapman talk about earlier this evening on your show.
Uh-huh.
And I began counting the number of times he said corruption in the government, corruption on Wall Street, corruption in the Federal Reserve. And I lost count. give us a brief synopsis, if you would, of what he said is going on right now, what he sees happening, which is not being reported in the mainstream media, by the way.
There's a lot. Fascist regimes tend to take the constant use of the patriot mottos. We have got to the point where Americans are afraid of our enemies because we don't know who our enemies are. He talks about the corruption of our leaders today, not taking care, not being responsible, and the corruption, and it goes all the way down to the local mayor and our government has become a fascist nation. He made it the comment many times about the corruption in government and it, at all levels. And fear is used as a motivational tool by the government, our government today, over we the people. He made a comment about the industrial and the business aristocratic fascist leaders, the ones who put the government in power, and the fact that they govern, they are controlled. We, our government, is controlled by these fascist people behind the scenes for their mutual benefit. Not the benefit of we the people, but the benefit of business and the power elite. He didn't harp on it, but he emphasized that the organizing power of labor, okay, would be the threat to the fascist government. And he actually brought up the fact that under the fascist regime that we have here in America, the government that is controlled by those, the bankers and the industrialists and the big pharmaceuticals, were giving the police unlimited amount of power to enforce laws. And we, the people, are willing to overlook police abuse and even give up our civil liberties, all in the name of patriotism. There is often a national police force with virtually unlimited power in fascist nations, ladies and gentlemen. And the rampant cronyism and corruption within our government today, it only solidifies the fact that we have become a fascist state. It's not uncommon for fascist regimes for national to seek out and destroy the national resources and take our the treasuries and steal. And what do you think's happening right now? Bob Chapman said that that our government leaders are stealing our treasury. In the fraudulent elections, Bob Chapman said that from his place outside the United States, he saw that the fraudulent elections were rampant. And our elections are nothing more than a complete scam. So where do we go from here, ladies and gentlemen? I'll tell you where we go from here. We either start taking this country back. We didn't go far enough 2 days ago, 3 days ago. And how far are we going to fall before you find out that we're on the verge of a Weimar Republic? A Weimar Republic, 1921 to 1923, where in 1920, a cord of wood in Germany, cost 10 marks, German marks. In 1921, it went to 100 marks. In 1922, it was 10,000 marks. In 1923, a cord of wood was over 10 million German marks in fiat paper, German marks. A loaf of bread went from a few pence to a 2,000 marks for a loaf of bread, to 20,000 marks a loaf of bread. That's what's going to happen to the American dollar in the very near future. Bob Chapman said, get your hardcore silver pre-1963. And he agreed with me that in the very near future, silver would jump to $400 an ounce minimum in paper fiat money.
Yeah. Drew, there's also another thing that I want to add here before we say goodnight. And this is a paper that you had published on your News and Views yesterday. And I took the liberty of making it a bit bolder and text, sent you a copy. I don't know if you got to see that. But the point.
Oh, that was a magazine article. That wasn't that wasn't something I wrote. That was article from
2003. That was.
A magazine article from 2003. It was an article.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I sent you a copy, an emboldened copy, which sticks out like a sore thumb. And I want to read this to the listeners. This is something that Drew had posted on his News and Views yesterday. It's written by Dr. Lawrence Britt, who is a political scientist who studied the fascist regimes of Hitler, Mussolini, Franco, Suharto, and Pinochet, to name a few. He probably should have studied Bush and Clinton, Bush and the bow-legged Mac Daddy as well. But he found that these regimes all had 14 things in common, and he called them the identifying characteristics of fascism. The 14 defining characteristics of fascism is the name of the article that he wrote for Free Inquiry magazine in the spring 2003 edition. He said, number one, powerful and continuing nationalism. Fascist regimes tend to make use of patriotic mottos, slogans, symbols, songs, and other paraphernalia. Flags are seen everywhere, as are flag symbols on clothing and in public displays. Number two, disdain for the recognition of human rights. Because of fear of enemies and the need for security, the people in fascist regimes are persuaded that human rights can be ignored in certain cases because of need. The people tend to look the other way or even approve of torture, summary executions, assassinations, long incarcerations of prisoners, etc. Number three, identification of enemies, scapegoats, as a unifying cause. The people are rallied into a unifying patriotic frenzy over the need to eliminate a perceived common threat or foe. Racial, ethnic, or religious minorities, liberals, communists, socialists, terrorists, etc. Number four, supremacy of the military. Even when there are widespread domestic problems, the military is given a disproportionate amount of government funding, and the domestic agenda is neglected. Soldiers and military service are glamorized. Number five, rampant sexism. The governments of fascist nations tend to be almost exclusively male-dominated. Under fascist regimes, traditional gender roles are made more rigid. Divorce, abortion, and homosexuality are suppressed, and the state is represented as the ultimate guardian of the family institution. Now, they're not suppressing these things, actually. There's the difference. They're 180 degrees different, but I'll go on with a few more. Six, controlled mass media. Sometimes the media is directly controlled by the government, but in other cases, the media is indirectly controlled by government regulation or sympathetic media spokespeople and executives. Censorship, especially in wartime, is very common. Seven, obsession with national security. Fear is used as a motivational tool by the government over the masses. Number eight, religion and government are intertwined. Governments in fascist nations tend to use the most common religion in the nation as a tool to manipulate public opinion. Religious rhetoric and terminology is common from government leaders, even when the major tenets of the religion are diametrically opposed to the government's policies or actions. 9. Corporate power is protected. The industrial and business aristocracy of a fascist nation often are the ones who put the government leaders into power, creating a mutually beneficial business-government relationship and power elite. Number 10. Labor power is suppressed. Because the organizing power of labor is the only real threat to a fascist government, labor unions are either eliminated entirely or are severely suppressed. 11. Disdain for intellectuals and the arts. Fascist nations tend to promote and tolerate open hostility to higher education and academia. It is not uncommon for professors and other academics to be censored or even arrested. Free expression in the arts and letters is openly attacked. And that includes talk radio, by the way, especially on the internet. 12. Obsession with crime and punishment. Under fascist regimes, the police are given almost limitless power to enforce laws. The people are often willing to overlook police abuses and even forego civil liberties in the name of patriotism. There was often a national police force with virtually unlimited power in fascist nations. 13. Rampant cronyism and corruption. Fascist regimes almost always are governed by groups of friends and associates who appoint each other to government positions and use governmental power and authority to protect their friends from accountability. It is not uncommon in fascist regimes for national resources and even treasures to be appropriated or even outright stolen by government leaders. 14. Fraudulent elections. Sometimes elections in fascist nations are a complete sham. Other times elections are manipulated by smear campaigns against or even assassination of opposition candidates, use legislation to control voting numbers, political district boundaries, and manipulation of the media. Fascist nations also typically use their judiciaries to manipulate or control elections. And I would add several more, but we could include under number 15, the oppression of the people worldwide with the illegal spraying of toxicological and biological substances intended to cause them to become ill and even kill them. Are we living in a fascist nation? Compare this to Hitler's Germany, Mussolini's Italy, Franco's Spain, and Suharto's Indonesia. And let us not forget Pinochet's Chile. Drew, your thoughts before we say goodnight.
Ladies and gentlemen, network with your friends and understand George Washington and the colonists fought for freedom, fought for liberty, and fought for justice. Only 13% of the American people of the colonies participated in fighting the greatest nation of its day and won. Today, 15% of Americans are wide-eyed and awake. 230 years ago, less than 3% of the male population fought for liberty and justice and freedom so we could live free and independent. Today, ladies and gentlemen, are you prepared to network with your friends to fight and live free and independent? If you are, this nation can be salvaged. If you are not, you are going to be nothing more than a slave for others. On my news and views today, there is today, well, yesterday, Thursday, the fourth day of November. Check out the video link called The Professor and pay attention to the fact that If you don't network, fascism will continue to grow. On Don Nikoloff's show this week on BBS Radio, there was a show Monday with Dr. A. Truat. And on that show, there was a discussion about what's here and what's happening in the Corporation Nation. Check out the video, Corporation Nation, and understand it's here now. Don Nikoloff, and pay attention to Don Nikoloff and BBS Radio and the other alternative radio networks out there. Learn the truth. Prepare and understand. When I tell you that toilet paper, we're talking about Charmin or any other brand name, Angel Soft, toilet paper in the near future is going to be worth its weight in gold, gold and silver. If you want to follow what's going on today with the military and the government of the United States and the corruption, follow the S4 supply, where the food and the toilet paper is going. Many of you laugh at me. But I'm going to tell you, if you don't network, if you don't get prepared, Corporation Nation explains, is the documentary of the government financial fraud that is proven. And I want to thank you, Don, for having that show and your rant on Tuesday. I want to thank BBS Radio for bringing the truth out there. And I'm going to give you one last warning to this audience. Death. Corruption that has never been seen on this planet is about to enter the sovereign states of the United States of America. And anybody that tells you that the UN is going to send troops here to guard this country has got their head up their posterior. Because this country, the United Nations military from other countries, they don't want to come here because this... They know you got guns, and they're not going to come here. They're not going to send their children here when they got enough problems in their own country. So those blue helmets out there are going to be your sons and daughters ordered by the fascist government. I appreciate you allowing me to come on to your show, Don.
Well, I appreciate you coming to the show, Drew, and I want to give Drew's website out to all you folks out there. Check it out. It's actually undergoing some fantastic
major changes.
Major, I know. You're going to have to make me have to start changing my website to keep up with you. Go to amd.elequity.com. And Drew's show is heard on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on the internet on blogtalkradio.com. Drew, thank you very much. You have a good evening, and I'll see you next Monday on your show, and see you back here again next Thursday.
How do I reckon? Are you going to have a mustache when I see you?
Oh, yeah, I still have one, yes.
Okay. Well, see, I was going to see you, so I want to make sure that I'm looking at the right person.
All right. You have yourself a good night, Drew.
Thank you. God bless.
You too. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. And tonight's special guest, former U.S. Marine Drew Malone Raines III. I want to thank Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting the show either live or on an archive over at BBSRadio.com. I want to thank Seth Hendrick on the sound tonight. Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when I'm going to be continuing our discussion with scientist inventor Jim Murray about his many inventions and the current research he's doing in the area of power production. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.